you don't win games, people are going to say this is why or that's why, and I've learned that comes with the territory. And the only thing I can really worry about or do about it is just because it's someone else's perception, not make that my reality. I know what happens in here. I know what my relationship is with Robert. And we go to work every day. We're competitive people, but we work together. It's when he does good, I feel I did good. When he does bad, I feel I have a responsibility in that.
All right. Well, rumor has it, and there have been plenty of rumors coming out of Redskins Park over the course of the last several weeks as George nods his head in either approval or disgust. I'm not exactly sure which.
Both.
Rob Woodfork here with you alongside George Wallace and Dave Preston back again. Good to have you, sir.
Always good to be involved with the bold and the burgundy.
All right. He's really trying to get this to stick, isn't he?
I see what he's trying to do.
It's got traction. It's got traction.
I see what he's trying to do. Have we had any complaints about that?
We haven't had any complaints about that. We are getting complaints that we don't have a name for this. So that's something that I guess we'll have to do. So on the WTOP talkback line.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, don't do that.
We're not going through all of that.
Remember Happy Days? Richie and Potsy and Ralph had the band and they never had a name. And it got to be a joke like during the latter stages of when Richie was on. They're like, yeah, we don't have a band's name.
That's a hell of a reference.
That was when the show got to be almost completely unwatchable.
Kind of like this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
We folks have jumped the shark.
Kind of like the Redskins.
Yes. I'm wearing a leather jacket with a swimsuit today.
All right. So let's go to the phones. Let's get the rumor stuff out of the way. Of course, this week, all of the talk is RG3 doesn't get along with Mike Shanahan, doesn't get along with Kyle Shanahan, doesn't get along with Mama Shanahan, probably. What do we do with this?
Well, you believe everything. You believe everything that's coming out of Redskins Park. That's what you do. No, I'm kidding there, too. The Kyle Shanahan press conference today was specifically asked about the article that was out this week about the play calling after Griffin came back last year and whether or not Kyle Shanahan was calling plays and putting him in danger. Now, there's a reference in the piece that Griffin's parents had kind of gotten involved in all this, which is they seem to have been around quite some time now.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan then went all the way back to last year's Dallas game and the Seattle game and specifically laid out plays, kind of like shutting the whole thing down and defending his play calling and so on and so forth. Kyle did not hold back today. He'll probably get a talking to, but I don't know if he will or not. Because he just let it out. You know, it's a situation where this is the point we've come to. Griffin and Kyle are not on the same page. Mike and Griffin aren't on the same page. And that's what happens when you're 3-9.
We've got to talk about something for the next 4 weeks. And we've already kind of dissected, does Mike Shanahan stay? Right. Now we have to dissect, does Kyle Shanahan get along with the face of the franchise?
And I think this is actually sort of asking the question now, since Kyle was so blunt in this press conference. Mm-hmm. Maybe does he get the sense that he's done, or is he posturing for his next job?
Well, funny you mention that, because the discussion in the media room was kind of both of those things.
Yeah.
And Kyle basically letting people out there know that they're, you know, the other 31 teams that, you know, they may have an opening.
Ain't me, man.
Yeah, that he's, you know, that he can get the job done. Defending his offense and also saying basically, you know, he wants people to respect him. As a coach, you always respect your coaches and not trying to be buddy-buddy. And, you know, the relationship is the same that it always has been. But he didn't come flat out and say, we have a great relationship. So I don't I think that that's kind of obvious.
And it seems like RG3 was sort of avoiding that as well in his comments this week.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. And that's why this whole bold and the beautiful thing, you've got the soap opera
yes.
theme.
Well, because with any soap opera, there are always families that are battling, and you've got the Shanahans and you've got the Griffins.
Sure.
And each of, you would think that with this team, the best interests of both should converge. If RG3 turns into a Hall of Famer, it's going to help accentuate Mike Shanahan's Hall of Fame credentials. It's going to help Kyle Shanahan eventually get a head coaching job in his own right. And right now, it seems as though they're going against each other instead of working with each other.
Right, and that's what's going to be interesting. If this coaching staff does come back next year, is this relationship salvageable?
That's going to be interesting.
And I don't know the answer to that question right now.
I mean, it seems like with each passing week, there's something more coming out. There's not anything that's sort of, you know, brushing it aside and saying, hey, this is not as big a deal as you guys are making it out to be. It seems like every week there's some new nugget coming out making this look like it's worse than perhaps we thought it was originally.
There's nothing worse, though, than having a disconnect between the coach and the quarterback. Look at Denver, Dan Reeves wound up losing his job in part because he couldn't get along with John Elway. And there were words of how then offensive coordinator Mike Shanahan was backstabbing Reeves on his way out the door on his way to San Francisco.
And I think you're onto something by pointing out Denver, because there had been talk that John Elway and Mike Shanahan didn't get along for a time.
Right, for a
little
bit of
time. But they were winning Super Bowls.
Right.
So there may be sort of the sense that this whole thing is a little bit overplayed or overblown, rather, because, I mean, if Shanahan wasn't getting along with John Elway, I mean, he had as influential a hand in making him a Hall of Famer as anybody.
Uh-huh.
So if they got along well enough for him to play well and to win Super Bowls, then, you know, what are we talking about here? I mean, we're talking about this because the Redskins are 3-9. If they're 9-3, then we're not talking about any of this.
And that's the thing, too, you know, and all the talk about Kyle, and this is where we'll defend Kyle in the offense. I mean, they basically tailored the offense to this quarterback last year.
Yep.
He won Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Number one offense. They won the NFC East.
That's good.
So, yes, that's all good. So that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's it obviously works, and now all of a sudden things aren't going well, and that happens. I get it. Everybody's pointing the finger.
But that's not a good sign moving forward, because if there's a lot of finger pointing, then that means that there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings and less chance of any of this coming back next year.
The thing is, the Redskins aren't 3-9 because of the relationship, whatever relationship, good, bad, contentious, whatever relationship RG3 has with Kyle Shanahan, with Mike Shanahan. That's not why this team is 3-9.
Correct.
This team is 3-9 because they can't stop teams defensively when it matters.
Yes.
They're 3-9 because
the unit is awful.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
The one thing that really has, and Kyle defended his lack of using Alfred Morris in the second halves of games in Kyle's press conference this week. But you look at how he has kind of mismanaged Alfred Morris for whatever reason. And Mike Shanahan defended the lack of use for Alfred Morris in the second half.
Well, it's kind of interesting because they had two different things.
Right.
Kyle said that they're running the option, and if they're taking away Alfred Morris, then your quarterback's going to keep the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike
Which he's
said
been
the
doing.
Other day, yeah. And Mike said the other day that Alfred was ineffective in the second half. So,
right.
You know.
Well, it's hard to be effective in the second half when you only have two carries to work with.
Right. He had 15 yards, though, so he had 7.5 yards per carry, plus he had a 6-yard run that was wiped
Extrapolate
out.
Extrapolate that.
I know. You multiply that by 15, and by goodness.
Using these big words, you guys. Using these big words.
Hey, every once in a while, you got to dust off
the other
vocab.
Problem is, too, and we talked about it today with Kyle, is the fact that this offense is now giving up sacks at a record pace.
I mean, 17 over the last
in 4 weeks. They had 13 going into the Minnesota game, and now they're at 30, and that was just 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
That's a problem.
That is a problem when your defense can't stop anybody and
Correct.
Your special teams are on pace to be the worst in NFL history. Now, let's talk about the Kansas City game. Any chance they win this?
Got them right where they want them.
I thought we weren't.
Chiefs have lost three straight. They're reeling. They've got a quarterback who can't, even though he did put 28 points on the board against Denver. Alex Smith is not a catch-up quarterback, so all you got to do is just get that lead and then not use Alfred Morris at all in the second half, and you'll be sound as the pound.
There you go.
Well, London said, too, that the huge difference is with the Chiefs is looking at him from last year to this year is Alex Smith, and he's been that effective. I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Broncos twice in 3 weeks, and they lost a tough Charger team.
Right.
I never thought I'd say a tough Chargers team, but
well, they're competitive.
They play, yeah.
Their record is not impressive.
Yeah. You know, the Chiefs have also won the NFC East already. They've beaten everybody in the East.
There you go.
So
and obviously, I mean, those are all division games that they lost here. Division games are always toss ups because you see them all the time. You guys know each other really well.
Right.
Doesn't matter how good or bad you are or they are, sometimes it just happens. But Kansas City, this was my turnaround team of 2013, and it's one of the few things I got right.
Did
so
you
I'm
really
totally
say
this.
That?
I did.
Is that written down somewhere?
That is in my NFL preview, which you should have read like twice already.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. I picked this team to win 10-11 games before the season, and they're looking like they're on that pace now. They can still rebound. I mean, the schedule sort of sets up really well for them. They've only got, by my, and I saw the schedule, I think they only have one team left on their schedule with a winning record. So they promise to end the season well. I mean, what better bounce back opponent than the Redskins?
Oh yeah,
who can't seem to win in their own building?
Well, and you look at the franchise, the Chiefs franchise. They've had a couple of different regime changes the last few years, mm-hmm. but what they've done right, they've got a coach Andy Reid who believes in his quarterback Alex Smith, and Alex Smith does not lose them games.
And those
he
were
doesn't
the two...
he doesn't necessarily go out and win games,
right?
But the key is he's not making mistakes. That's the kind of guy that he is, and coach Andy Reid recognizes Alex Smith for what he is, and he's not trying to make him into a gunslinger, some guy who goes out and wins games. He's asking him not to lose the games, and they've got a pretty good defense. They've got building blocks in place.
And let's be honest here, the cupboard was not bare for Andy Reid when he walked in there. They had six Pro Bowlers when he walked in there, even though they only won two games. That was a very misleading 2-14 team because they had a lot of talent there. They just didn't have a coach. They didn't have a quarterback. Now they have both, and you see the results. But, I mean, is there any way that the Redskins win this game? I mean, you've got one of the best defenses in the league on the field going up against an offense that's in turmoil right now, even though that's the most effective unit they have by default. You know, special teams, didn't they just have a guy return a kick over 100 yards last week there in Kansas City?
Yeah, it could get it could get pretty nasty on Sunday. But the thing about the NFL is it's such a snapshot league. It's such a week-to-week league that it wouldn't surprise me the way this team has played this year if they would come out and have a stellar effort because it's been 4 weeks since they've played well enough to win.
Yeah.
But this is a team that they need everything to fall
and they need
in
to
the
get
right place.
Darrell Young back, Jordan Reed back as well on offense. I mean, missing those two guys last week. Niles Paul will play this week. We know Stephen Bowen's done. Reed Doughty back at practice limited on Thursday. So, you know, they need those guys because they need all their weapons against the Chiefs. And keep in mind, too, the weather is going to get nasty Sunday afternoon, too.
Yeah, but whose advantage does that play
to? That's the thing.
Because the Redskins don't want to run Alfred Morris, so...
How much does this team miss Leonard Hankerson? A lot was made that Reed couldn't play, but when Reed and Hankerson, when they were both inactive for this past Sunday's game, you looked at the numbers, 33% of the catches by Redskins receivers wiped out.
Right. I mean, I think they miss him in third down situations, for sure. But that, you know, that's where Griffin's been, was going to Reed and Hankerson some, too. But I still think, but Leonard Hankerson was still up and down. Yeah, he's still too inconsistent for me now in year number three. Yeah. So, you know, that's going to, and his season's ended early also twice now. So, you know, that's a guy that I think they would have hoped would have been further along by now.
Yeah, and he's got, what, one more year to really prove himself before they have to make a decision on that.
Right.
Speaking of making decisions, let's call out some scores here. What are we predicting?
You just want to throw numbers up against the wall?
Let's do it.
That's not nice.
We've been doing that all year.
Yeah, that's true. We have.
I'm going to lead off. I'm going to say Chiefs 23, Redskins 14. The Redskins come back to make it 20-14 with two touchdowns in the second half, and the Chiefs go on an 8-minute drive in the fourth quarter to kick a field goal and make it a 2-possession game.
That was so specific, it makes my head hurt.
Wow. But see, now, this is
that
how
comes
much...
to pass, then we're going to have to come up with a nickname for him.
Well, and he's thinking about this because this is how much that I care that the Redskins and the Chiefs get their best ever. Dave's going to be at the game Sunday in my place.
There you go.
Sunday. So he's been thinking about this and writing out the script and already talked to the coaches.
All right.
So I think the Chiefs are going to win as well. Were you asking me next?
Yes.
Okay. I think the Chiefs are going to win as well. I'm going 27-17. I think it's going to be one of those kind of games. I think
with nasty weather.
Yeah. It's too high. Like we've said all along, I have no idea. You have no idea which Redskins team is going to show up. None.
Sure don't.
For week in and week out, you have no idea. And if they get hit in the mouth in a cold day, rainy day, they're not going to be any part of it. I mean, let's be honest. The Chiefs are a good football team. They lost three straight.
Yeah, they're not going to lose four straight. Right. I have a hard time. You know, if they were coming in high off of a win against Denver, then maybe you can catch them napping. But the Redskins are going to have their full attention.
And Andy Reid knows this team, too. This Redskins team.
Oh, yeah. And I think he sweeps the NFC East. I think the Chiefs win this game. I think it's a 21-17 Chiefs win. Here's my footnote. The Chiefs score a touchdown in all three phases of the game.
Oh, all right.
I like.
Yeah.
All right.
So how many carries does Alfred get in the second half?
We're going to have to start a number on that.
I'm going to say four. gets the ball four times in the second half because they're down double digits.
Well, it's progressively worse. So it I'm going to say that they're just going to cut him at halftime. We don't need this guy.
Can't make this stuff up, folks.
No,
but yeah, then
you
again,
cannot.
We can.
Well, you could, but the Redskins can only surpass it in a negative way.
Right.
So Rob Woodfork here signing off alongside George Wallace and Dave Preston. We'll be back on Tuesday to break this down. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap every Tuesday on WTOP.com.
We're going to have to go back and make sure he did pick the Chiefs when 11
games. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But yes,
you want to see this in writing?
Let's check it out.
Look, I didn't want to pick the Redskins to win 11 games, so I shouldn't even be allowed in this building anymore.
I had the Skins going 6-7-3.
Wow. With the 1971 record there. All right, guys, we'll talk to you on Tuesday.